Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. As temperatures begin to drop and winter settles in, if you are homeless, finding a place to stay warm in Northumberland County is not as easy as you think. On today's show, you will learn about the only formal warming center in the entire county. A partnership between Transition House and St. Peter's Anglican Church in Coburg is offering an overnight place to stay. During the day, there are few, if any, alternatives. You will hear how this partnership came to be and what is going on to help the most vulnerable find shelter in the bitter cold. I'm so pleased to have with me today Ann Newman, Executive Director of Transition House, and Reverend Canon Richard Miller, incumbent at St. Peter's Anglican Church in Coburg. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And I want to start with you. Let's start with the basics. What is a warming center?
Well, it is a area that provides respite from temperature. So in this case, it's cold. So it doesn't necessarily provide beds for sleeping, but it provides a 12-hour option for relief from weather.
And what purpose does it serve to the community? How does a warming center operate?
Well, I think, as you know, we have an emergency shelter and we have various services associated with that. However, there are community members that might not be eligible or fit into that model. So there are some folks who are left with nowhere to go. And this captures the remaining people that we cannot provide support for in the shelter services.
How does it operate?
It's going to run every day, 7 days a week, from 8 p.m. until 8 a.m. in the morning. It will go until March 31st. As you know, sometimes we're in a position at the end of the fiscal year where we can reallocate and maybe provide an extension. But at this point, the target end date is March 31st. This is not a regularly funded part of our emergency shelter services in Northumberland County. This opportunity is strictly funded under the Social Services Relief Fund, which is COVID dollars from the province.
What goes on inside and how is it staffed?
We have two staff there all the time. And those staff are basically doing intake. So before you come into the space, we do rapid testing. So that takes place. We also take some information. And then, yeah, it's just a space to use a washroom. Maybe there's no showers in there, but you could get cleaned up. There are snacks and refreshments and places to sit and rest. There's no programming. There's no case management. One of the things we've been able to add on with additional support through the Northumberland United Way is a connection through our community well-being staff, which is outreach, who is available when it closes in the morning. And that person can be a connection through the day to other services in the county, and mainly food. So we provide Northumberland Eat certificates through that worker, and that gives people the option to go and source food during the day. We also have housing caseworkers in the community through the Help Center. We have addiction supports available through Forecast or the Northumberland Hills Hospital. There's a lot of things that that worker can provide referrals and connections to. So that's exciting.
Why did you decide to partner with St. Peter's Church?
Well, I think the question is, or not the question, the excitement is that they decided to partner with us.
Well,
so, you know, churches tend to be a space that there's available space at night. And when we approached St. Peter's Church, there was open arms and welcome. And since then, it has been that. It has been a provision of resources and clearing the way for us to be able to provide this in the community. So maybe they chose us.
I was going to say, now I think it's time for Rick to maybe jump in here and tell us the story, Rick. How did this all come about?
Well, it's been a while coming. Over the last couple of years, we at St. Peter's have been seriously reevaluating what our role is in this community as a group of people of faith. How can we respond? So we've spent a great deal of time and energy trying to determine where our mission and ministry might be within the community. And one of those, one of the two specific ones or significant ones was those who live in a vulnerable situation in life. And that can range in all sorts of different ways. Just outside my office, there is a porch where quite often I will find someone sleeping in the morning. That's all well and good in the warmer weather. At this time of year, it makes a difference. So it fits in with what we've come up with as our vision for our ministry and mission as a community of faith here in Cobourg. And we've been working towards that. And this happened to come along. And it's sort of worked out very, very well. And we were delighted to be able to offer the space. We were more delighted that the space was deemed to be valuable for this purpose. And we've cleaned it all out and they've moved in. And I think that's just absolutely wonderful.
For those who might be familiar with St. Peter's in the building, what space is going to be used for this?
The space that is being used is what we traditionally call our Hutton Room. It was a lounge that was part of a building repurposing and redevelopment in the early 2000s. It's quite a lovely space and has been used as a lounge. We would have when we were worshiping in person, we would have our coffee hour after church services there, and there would be numerous meetings, gatherings such as that. It was the space that our parish nurse utilized for quite a while. And with the upswing of COVID, of course, our building has been restricted for use. And so the space was there and it was not being used, and it needs to be used. If we're going to have the space, it needs to be used and used well. And certainly this is that fits that bill very well.
Now, beside the space, are you offering any services through the church, or are there any members of the parish that are involved?
Not directly. Transition House is solely responsible for most of that. Where it has spun off is that we've received a number of responses through our Facebook page and through our front desk email saying, this is wonderful. How can I help? What can I do? So as Anne has mentioned, you know, we do have people who have knitted things. We have a community dinner or our Thursday night light dinner every week, where we are now serving about 140 people out the back door. I'm afraid it's not allowed to be a sit down inside dinner any longer because of COVID, but we hand out these dinners. If there's any food left over, it's going to Transition House for them to take. Our lunch program does the same thing, or what we call super time, if there's anything left over. And that's where I think it's not direct, but it's sparked a lot of interest within the congregation.
Rick, for the people who are not familiar with Christianity or the church's involvement in the community, how does this partnership become an expression of the beliefs or faith of those involved?
Well, how long do we have, Rob? I think this is me speaking personally. I think there is certainly a very large shift in the understanding of what it means to be a Christian, and it's shifting into how can we follow Jesus and be of value in the world in which we live, and how can we model that. It's becoming far less about, you know, my own personal, this is all about me, but it's about me following this guy, Jesus, and saying, how can we live that out in the world? And we do so in his name and by the grace of God.
And last year, two warming centers were created at the Lions Center and at the Columbus Hall. These involved Northumberland County, the Greenwood Coalition, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. This year, it is an entirely new partnership. What happened in between?
Well, I think I'm not sure what happened with, you know, how it came about or the closing out of it, because I wasn't involved in running it. Now, one of the things that has been set up at Northumberland County and disbanded since then is called the NAG, which is the Northumberland Advisory Group. And in that group, we had the representatives of those who serve the homeless community. And it involved Greenwood and Northumberland United Way, Cornerstone, myself, Public Health. I really hope at the Help Center. So I really hope I haven't forgotten somebody. And we sort of planned at that level what to do with COVID dollars, because COVID dollars came in to support vulnerable populations, but how do we work together to disseminate that in a way that all of the homelessness service organizations are contributing, participating, receiving extra dollars that they need to move forward. And at that time last year, there was more funds, quite frankly. So there was more opportunity to have one in the day and one in the night. But I also don't want to discount the fact that not everybody in Coburg is open to operating a warming room, and it becomes difficult to find a location. So I'm not sure we even approached the previous location because it was a different service provider, a different agreement. We didn't know the history, et cetera. And this one this year just sort of arrived. And at that point, Transition House was positioned to take on the work. One of the things that's affecting the work that we do nowadays is the ability to recruit people. So hiring has become quite a struggle. And our ability to utilize the systems, the staffing, the services, the policies, procedures, testing, et cetera, and to just move it over and add on a little bit was a little more realistic than starting all over. It's also really hard to recruit people to do work for just a few months. This way, we have a training ground in the shelter. We also have work perhaps after this is over in the shelter, as our shelter system continues to evolve into what it's going to be after COVID. In all of this, we have been, because of the recruitment issues and staff training issues, we've been working with the Training and Development Center in Coburg to create some entry-level training programs for people who want to work in this homelessness system. And we're going to be piloting that with the warming room, so that will give us the ability to kind of support people with training ongoing electronically, and also provide opportunity for people that aren't being offered full-time permanent work. So all of those connections together made it the right fit for this year. I'm not sure. It's not a Transition House service. This is an extra project that we are taking on. And I think now the NAG has disbanded because I think COVID's going to end. But now we've developed something called the Homelessness Leadership Table. And those same organizations, plus a few more, CAMH is there. I'm trying to think if I've missed anyone else. I think we're still in the process of developing that. So new membership may appear. But we will continue to see that evolution of the full system together after this.
I guess that was what was at the heart of my question, was trying to understand, and maybe you could be just a little bit clearer, how the collaboration, I mean, Greenwood Coalition is very much involved with homelessness, Salvation Army very much involved with homelessness, the county has a huge role. So how do we make sure that all the players, because I mean, if you look at the surface, it's like, well, there was one group over here that was doing it last year. They used this building, that building, and now all of a sudden we're over here and it's a whole new group, and you know, God bless. But at the same time, you know, are there still the collaboration? You know, we all talk about collaboration. The county talks about collaboration. You talk about collaboration. Is it still ongoing? Are people being referred? Because let's be honest, you're the only show in Northumberland right now. We've lost the police station. We don't have the multiple buildings. We don't have the high school. So you're the only show in town, you guys.
Well, maybe we like to work. We like to get her done, and we see the need and we put the resources in and we move forward. So when people ask us to take on a project, the answer is always yes. So perhaps those other organizations did not wish to provide the service. That has nothing to do with partnership, because I still see all of these organizations as a system working together. And our community well-being staff is the almost the centralized point of referral to all of those services. So for sure, Greenwood has a very different yet complementary nature of services to us. So we can't do what they do and they can't do what we do. The same goes for Northumberland Hills Hospital and Forecast. All of us are complementary. Even Cornerstone, they are a shelter just a couple doors down, but they are complementary. So all of us working together, I think, needs work as we move forward. As this system evolves, it's shaken us up. We're even Transition House, we're trying to get back to what our actual mission is. The mission of Transition House is simply shelter. However, we are providing a ton of different services over and above that because of the gaps found in the community and no other provider either able or having the desire to do it. We have that desire. I don't know why, but if it's not going to be done and someone else is going to say no, we're going to take it on. I personally offered it out to every other organization because I do not like the having power over the entire system from a client perspective, right? So because of that, just to be clear, one of the challenges for other service providers might be when they witness a service restriction in the shelter. So there is an individual that they may serve that is not able to access our shelter. That does not apply to the warming room. So if somebody cannot access the shelter due to not being able, for whatever reason, a service restriction or an eligibility issue, they are open to come to the warming room. I think that was a concern. If we have a service restriction over here, will it apply over here? That's not the case. We are ready and willing to work with any service provider that is ready and willing to work. But I also think other service providers are experiencing the same capacity issues that all of us are in staffing and resourcing. Everything shifted, even the funding. What funders want to fund now has shifted. So everything involves rethinking. And in that rethinking, all of the organizations have to redefine how we want to work together. We have to agree on the definitions of everything. And right now, we don't even really agree on those definitions yet, but we're working towards it.
You mentioned funding just a second ago, and you talked a little bit about it earlier. My understanding is that this is getting COVID dollars from the county. How much is being allotted for this from the county?
The warming room budget is around $150,000.
And Rick, is the church at all contributing financially to this project?
Not financially, no. We're simply the space provider, if you will, and to be transparent, we're receiving actually rental income through this into St. Peter's.
which is where I think these COVID dollars, when they work in partnerships like this, begin to rebuild the community. So, you know, we've struggled, and I'm sure the church has struggled too, with not being able to have people in. So it becomes win-win. It's the same with Northumberland Eats. When we give those vouchers out, we're actually supporting community businesses. So I like the shift there.
You mentioned earlier, we talked briefly about the fact that this is the only warming center in Northumberland County. Now, this is great for people living in Cobourg, but how does this help those who might need similar service from elsewhere in the county? Can you explain that, Anne?
That's a good question. So I have questioned that myself. How do we get people experiencing temperature issues from Campbellford over here? And I think that is about our work in what you're doing, getting the message out, and us as an organization doing targeted outreach to the organizations that serve those folks in other municipalities. I think one of the goals ahead of us this year, and maybe for the next few years, is to bring this whole county together on the issue. Because we are situated in Cobourg, we have become a Cobourg-centric service. I think there is, and I would say this is an old opinion, that let's have everyone close to where all the service providers are because of transportation issues. But we know Community Care Northumberland has transportation available. They have rural transportation. So there are ways to get folks to Cobourg, but maybe also as we move forward, we start thinking, is Cobourg the right place? I don't know, because it becomes a challenge to serve the whole community. And the other challenge I see before us in this county is the business hours of 1980. Everybody closes down at 4 o'clock and goes home. So our services continue 24/7, and people are experiencing these temperatures in the middle of the night. We don't even have taxi service here that, you know, we'll have one taxi that maybe goes on vacation. So those are the challenges and the gaps in the community that I'd really like to look at to bring us together as a county.
Rick, going forward, what can we expect?
I'm not sure how to answer that, Rob, but we're hoping that we've already had sort of little conversations just about future partnerships with Transition House. I don't know how that might work out. St. Peter's is certainly exploring different options. We're going through a fair amount right now with our own building issues, but then we've got a significant amount of property, so we're wondering how to repurpose that. How can we use that property and our building? We have a significant building here. How can we use that for the benefit of this community of Cobourg and the surrounding area? So we don't have those answers yet, but we are asking the questions, and certainly this fortuitous partnership with Transition House in the county this year for the warming room has seemingly opened another door of exploration and future possibility.
Anne, how do you see things going forward from here?
The same. I feel, you know, when you meet somebody, you sort of work together. Maybe you have a landlord and tenancy situation, but I see the evolution of this into reciprocal partnership. And I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to see a church, an organization who is, let's say, putting their money where their mouth is. You're leading the way and allowing people to have access to basic needs with actual love. So this has been an amazing experience. I mean, we're only a few weeks in, but if it's an indication of where we're going, then I have a lot of hope.
Anne Newman, Richard Miller, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was Anne Newman, Executive Director of Transition House, and Reverend Canon Richard Miller, incumbent at St. Peter's Anglican Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.